sleep-a-time facts, quantum mechanics. Let your body find the shape of rest. The mattress holds you. The room is quiet, and your breathing can slow without effort. Soon we will notice very small things. But first, there is only this ordinary fact. Matter is made of atoms. They are present in the blanket, the air, and the walls, arranged in calm patterns. Light also has a gentle habit. It can travel as a wave, spreading and overlapping, like ripples on a still pond. There is nothing to solve here. Atoms are not asking you to stay awake, and waves are not rushing anywhere. They simply behave as they behave. You can let your shoulders soften. You can let your thoughts become plain and slow. The smallest parts of the world are steady. And so is this moment. Resting is enough while the mind settles toward sleep. When light falls on a clean piece of metal, something very small can happen. The metal may let go of a few electrons. These electrons are already part of the metal, moving gently within it. Light gives them a little push, and sometimes enough energy to slip away from the surface. This sounds simple, but the details did not fit the old picture of light as a smooth wave. In a smooth wave, energy is spread out. A brighter wave carries more energy, and a dimmer wave carries less. If that were the whole story, a dim light should still be able to free electrons. If it shone long enough, the energy could gather slowly, like warmth building in a stone placed in the sun. The observations were quieter than that, and more exact. For each metal, there is a lowest color or frequency that can free electrons at all. Under ordinary conditions, light below that frequency does not release them, even when it is very bright. Light above that frequency can release them, even when it is very faint. The change is not gradual in the way a wave picture would suggest. There is a clear boundary. Brightness affects how many electrons are released. Once the light is above the boundary, a brighter beam frees more of them. It does not make each one come away with more energy. The energy of each released electron depends on the color of the light. Higher frequency light gives the electrons more energy. Lower frequency light gives them less, until the threshold is reached and none are freed. Another observation was equally direct. When the light has a high enough frequency, electrons appear without delay. There is no need to wait for energy to collect. If the beam is faint, fewer electrons come away. But the ones that do are still released promptly. A smooth wave would need time to deliver enough energy to a single electron. The metal did not behave that way. The new idea was simple, and it was strange. Light does not hand over its energy in a continuous drizzle. It transfers energy in small packets. Each packet belongs to one frequency of light. The higher the frequency, the larger the packet. One packet can be absorbed by one electron. If the packet is large enough, the electron can escape. If it is not large enough, the electron stays where it is. This picture explains the threshold. The metal holds its electrons with a certain binding energy. A packet of light must be at least that large before an electron can leave. If the light has a low frequency, each packet is too small, making the beam brighter. Only adds more small packets. It does not make any one of them larger. That is why a bright beam of low frequency light may do nothing where a faint beam of higher frequency light can succeed. The energy left over becomes motion. A packet of light gives its energy to an electron. Some of that energy is spent getting out of the metal. The rest appears as the electron's kinetic energy. This is why higher frequency light releases electrons with more speed. The relationship is orderly. The electron energy rises with frequency, not with brightness. Researchers studied this by letting light of different colors fall on metal surfaces and measuring the released electrons. They used gentle electric fields to slow the electrons and find how much energy they carried. The method was indirect, like weighing a breeze by watching how far it moves a leaf. Yet the pattern was clear. The energy of the electrons followed the color of the light in a steady line. The brightness changed the number of electrons, not their individual energy. This was how the old wave picture needed a correction. Light can travel as a wave, and many of its patterns are wave-like. But when light gives energy to matter, it does so in separate packets. The effect shows that exchange in a plain way. A surface and a few released electrons are enough to reveal it. The idea also helps explain why some light sensors work the way they do. In a simple sensor, incoming light can free charges in a material, and the resulting current depends on the light. The sensor responds to color because each packet of light carries a definite amount of energy. It responds to brightness because more packets arrive each moment. The effect is small and useful. None of this requires a sharp break with everyday experience. At ordinary scales, light still seems smooth. Lamps brighten rooms in a continuous way. The grain appears only when we look closely at how energy is passed along, one small packet at a time. This effect is one of the places where that quiet grain becomes visible. A narrow beam of light meets a barrier with two thin openings. Beyond the barrier sits a screen. If light behaved like a stream of tiny grains passing straight through, one might expect two soft patches, one behind each opening. Instead, when both openings are clear, the screen shows a row of alternating bright and dim bands. The bright bands lie where light from the two openings arrives in step. The dim bands lie where the arrivals cancel. This is the shape of interference. It is familiar from waves on water. When two sets of ripples cross, a crest meeting a crest makes a larger rise. A crest meeting a trough can flatten the surface. Light does something similar. The two openings act as matched sources of waves. Their crests and troughs spread outward, overlap, and produce a regular pattern. The pattern is quiet evidence that light has a wave-like way of spreading. The same arrangement can be used with much smaller things. A source can release electrons one at a time toward the two openings. Each electron reaches the screen as a single localized spot. At first, the spots look scattered. After many arrivals, the spots gather into bands. The same alternating pattern appears, even though no crowd of electrons is pushing through the openings together. Each particle is registered separately, yet the final distribution has the shape of an interference pattern. This result asks for a careful description. The particle does not simply choose one opening and ignore the other in the ordinary. way a pellet would. The pattern depends on both openings being available. If one opening is closed, the bands fade into a broad, single pile. If both are open, the possible routes through the barrier combine to shape where detections are likely. In modern terms, a quantum object is described by a wave-like mathematical spread, and that spread can pass through both openings. The screen records individual events, but the chances of those events follow the overlapping spread. The buildup is gentle to think about. There is no need to imagine the particle splitting into visible fragments. It arrives whole at one place. Still, the probability of where it will appear carries the mark of both paths. The bright bands are regions where the contributions reinforce. The dim bands are regions where they cancel. The pattern is a stable arrangement that appears again when the setup is kept steady. Experimenters have explored this with care. They can make openings very small and sources very faint. They can place detectors near the openings to learn which path was taken. When path information is gathered in a way that distinguishes one opening from the other, the interference pattern weakens or disappears. The screen begins to look more like two simple patches. When the arrangement does not reveal which path was used, the bands return. The change follows from the conditions under which interference can remain, rather than from a rough shove. This point was worked out gradually through many quiet laboratory arrangements. Early studies of light already showed that two openings could make bands, and that supported the view of light as a wave. Later studies with electrons showed that matter could produce the same pattern. The same idea extended to neutrons, atoms, and even some larger molecules. In each case, the individual detections are local and definite, while the overall pattern is wave-like. The two-opening arrangement becomes a simple way to see that quantum objects do not move along the same kind of path as thrown stones. The pattern also helps explain why the setup is so often used as a first picture of quantum behavior. It uses only a barrier, openings, and a screen. Yet it reveals a deep feature of nature. Small things are not merely tiny balls. They are described by amplitudes that can overlap and combine. Where amplitudes add, detection is more likely. Where they subtract, detection is less likely. The screen shows the sum in silent bands. There is a calm regularity here. Each spot is a single event, but the collection has a shape that no single spot could predict. The arrangement does not demand a dramatic story. It simply asks that both routes remain open and unmarked. Then the overlapping waves do what waves do. They form a pattern of bright and quiet regions, patient and repeatable. As the arrivals gather on the screen, a beam of light can spread and overlap with itself. When it passes through a pair of narrow openings, the light that reaches a screen often forms a series of bright and dark stripes. The stripes are an interference pattern. They appear when waves from the two openings meet, adding together in some places and canceling in others. Water ripples do this. Sound does this. For a long time, this was enough to describe light as a wave. Yet the same beam can also be detected in small, separate events. A sensitive surface does not always respond to light as a smooth wash. It can register one tiny click here, another there, then another. Each click happens in one place. Over time, many clicks can build up the same striped pattern, but each arrival is local. The energy comes in portions. This is the packet side of the story. Matter shows the same double character. Electrons, which are often pictured as tiny beads, can also form interference patterns when they move through suitable arrangements. They can spread out and overlap at the same time. Each electron is found at one spot when it is detected. A detector does not record half an electron on one side and half on the other. It records a single event in a single place. Atoms, and even some larger molecules, have been shown to behave in this way under careful conditions. The behavior is repeatable. It appears when small systems are arranged with care. This is simply how small systems behave. The two sides belong to one description. A quantum object is not forced to choose between being a wave and being a particle. It is unlike a tiny stone and unlike a ripple on a pond. It is described by a mathematical pattern that spreads through space and changes smoothly with time. This pattern gives probabilities for where a detection may occur. Where the pattern is strong, detections are more likely. Where parts of the pattern cancel, detections are less likely. The pattern can guide many possible arrivals, while each actual arrival remains a definite event. This helps explain why the arrangement of an experiment matters. If the setup allows different paths to remain open and overlapping, the wave side appears as interference. If the setup forces a definite record of which path was taken, the interference fades. The object has not changed its nature. It has simply been placed in a situation where one kind of information can become available. The smooth spreading and the localized detection remain part of the same account. The idea developed slowly as people compared different kinds of evidence. Light had been studied through lenses and interference. Matter had been studied through collisions and electric currents. At first, these seemed like separate families of facts. One family looked like waves, the other looked like particles. The quiet discovery was that both families could be described with the same kind of quantum rule. A moving object can be associated with a wavelength. The wavelength becomes shorter when the object carries more momentum. For everyday things, that wavelength is so small that no ordinary arrangement can reveal its wave behavior. A rolling ball and a drifting leaf have quantum descriptions, but their wave effects are far too fine to notice. At very small scales, the wavelengths are large enough to matter. An electron moving gently can have a wavelength comparable to the spacing between atoms. That is why crystals can be used to show electron diffraction. Much as a regular grating can show light diffraction, the electron does not need to be split into pieces. It moves as a whole quantum system, and its possible paths can interfere. When it is finally recorded, the record is a point. Many points form a pattern. The pattern is wave-like. The points are packet-like. Together, they make a single observed behavior. The theory does not say the object must follow one ordinary path in the same way a thrown stone does. It gives a rule for how possibilities spread and combine. When a measurement is made, the result is definite. Before that, the description can remain broad. That breadth is not a flaw in the instruments. It is part of the behavior being described. A small system can be described in a way that keeps several answers open at once. In ordinary life, a question usually has a hidden answer. A card is face down, and it is either red or black, even before anyone looks. Quantum descriptions are different before a result is recorded. The mathematical state of a very small system can carry several possible results in one complete account. A simple image can carry the idea. Think of a musical chord. A chord holds several notes together as one sound. Each note has its own strength, and the chord changes if one note is made louder or softer. A quantum state can be like that. It is one description made from several possible outcomes, each with its own weight. Those weights are called amplitudes. They differ from ordinary probabilities. An amplitude has a size, and it also has a direction in a mathematical sense. This direction is often called phase. Because of phase, two amplitudes can support one another, or they can cancel. That simple fact gives quantum behavior much of its character. If a particle might be found in one place, there is an amplitude for that place. If it might be found in another place, there is an amplitude for the second place. The state can combine both. This combination is a complete description on its own. It does not say the particle is secretly in one place and nobody has checked. The combination itself can affect what happens next. This became clear through patterns of interference. When there are two open ways for a small system to reach a detector, the results can show a pattern that neither way alone would produce. The pattern depends on how the amplitudes line up. If the two possibilities are kept open, they can add in some places and subtract in others. If one possibility is removed, the pattern changes. The system behaves as though the full set of open possibilities belongs in the description. The mathematics grew out of wave descriptions. Waves on water can pass through one another, and the height of the water at any point is the sum of the contributions from each wave. Quantum theory uses a similar kind of addition with waves of amplitude, and their squares are linked to the chances of finding particular results. The equations used for these states have a helpful property. If one state is allowed and another state is allowed, then a weighted sum of the two is also allowed. When these sums were compared with careful observations, the patterns fit. That property is the formal heart of the idea. Measurement brings a change. When an arrangement is made to record one definite result, one outcome appears. The chance of each outcome is related to the size of its amplitude. After the result is known, the description can be updated to begin from that result. The earlier combined state was the right description for the situation in which several outcomes were still open. Plain language can make this sound strange, but the rule is orderly. A state can be written as a sum of parts. Each part points toward a possible result. The parts are terms in a description, rather than little objects sitting in a box. They follow precise mathematical rules. The calm part is that nothing is rushing or competing. The possibilities simply sit together in the state until an interaction yields one of them as the recorded fact. A useful image is a pond with two gentle sets of ripples. Where crest meets crest, the water rises a little more. Where crest meets trough, the surface stays flatter. Neither ripple has to win for a time. Both belong to the motion of the water. Quantum amplitudes combine in a related way. Though the pond is only an image and not the full theory, this view also helps explain why probabilities in small systems differ from ordinary ignorance. If a person does not know whether a lamp is on or off, the lamp is still in one condition. The unknown answer can be treated with simple percentages. Quantum possibilities can interfere, so they cannot always be handled as hidden facts with ordinary percentages. The state has structure. It has relations among the possible outcomes. The idea does not require imagining. A tiny object smeared into a fog. Sometimes a state can be spread out over positions. And sometimes it can combine internal properties such as directions or possible energies. In each case, the point is the same. The description can be complete while still carrying more than one possible answer. The completeness belongs to the state, and the single answer belongs to the measurement. Over time, this way of writing states became a steady tool. It lets physicists calculate what will be seen in many arrangements. The method is exact. It asks for the amplitudes and adds them according to the rules. Then it uses the result to find the chances of each outcome. A small particle does not carry a perfectly sharp position and a perfectly sharp momentum together. The limitation is quiet. No poor eyesight or shaky apparatus creates it. It belongs to the way quantum objects are described as waves. In ordinary language, position tells where something is. Momentum tells how it is moving, combining mass and velocity. For a baseball, it feels natural to imagine both quantities known to any desired precision. A quantum particle is different the more narrowly its position is defined, the less sharply its momentum can be defined. The more sharply its momentum is defined, the more spread out its position becomes. The reason comes from waves. A perfect wave with one exact wavelength extends outward without a definite location. It has a clear rhythm, and in quantum terms, that rhythm corresponds to a clear momentum. Yet there is no single place where the wave sits. To make a wave packet, a small bump located somewhere, many waves with different wavelengths must be added together. The bump can be made narrow, but doing so requires a wider mixture of wavelengths. Since wavelength is tied to momentum, a narrow packet in position carries a broad spread in momentum. This trade belongs to wave mathematics rather than to any flaw in the packet. A short musical note offers a similar feeling. A very brief sound cannot have a perfectly pure pitch, because a pure tone needs time to extend. The shorter the sound, the wider the range of frequencies needed to build it. Quantum particles behave in the same manner. Although the quantities involved are position and momentum rather than sound, the principle can be written as a simple inequality. The spread in position multiplied by the spread in momentum cannot be smaller than a fixed amount set by Planck's constant. That amount is extraordinarily small in everyday terms, which is why large objects appear to have both position and motion well defined. For an electron, the same bound becomes noticeable. The particle is not hiding a better answer that a clever device might uncover. The theory says there is no state in which both quantities are exact at once. It is tempting to picture measurement as a clumsy hand. One might imagine that finding an electron's position requires bumping it with light, and that the bump changes its motion. Such disturbance can happen, and careful experiments account for it. The deeper point, though, is not about disturbance even before a measurement is made. A quantum state cannot assign exact position and exact momentum together. The uncertainty is prepared into the state itself. This idea grew out of the early mathematical forms of quantum theory, as physicists learned to represent position and momentum with new kinds of quantities. They found that the order of operations mattered. Position and momentum did not fit together like ordinary numbers. From that mismatch came a limit on simultaneous sharpness. The same limit also appeared naturally when matter was treated with wave equations. Two paths of thought met at the same quiet rule. The rule helps explain why small systems remain spread out instead of shrinking into points. If an electron in an atom were confined to a tiny region near the nucleus, its position would become very narrow. The principle then requires a wide spread in momentum, which means greater motion and energy. The atom settles into a balanced size where attraction and wave behavior agree. The electron is not orbiting like a planet, nor is it sitting still at a fixed distance. It is described by a spread out state that respects the limit. Because the principle is about waves, it applies to other paired quantities as well. Energy and time have a related form, though their meaning is a little different. In each case, one quantity becomes sharper only when the paired quantity becomes broader. The pattern is one expression of the fact that quantum objects are not tiny billiard balls with hidden, perfectly definite paths. At human scales, the constant that sets the limit is so small that the effect fades into the background. A rolling ball, a drifting leaf, and a cup resting on a table can be described with position and motion that seem exact enough for daily life. Their wave nature is still present, but the spreads are far too small to notice. The rule gives small things a gentle looseness, a built-in width that keeps them from being pinned down more finely than waves allow. A small particle approaching a barrier does not always behave like a ball approaching a wall. In ordinary motion, a ball rolling toward a hill slows as it climbs. If it lacks enough energy to reach the top, it rolls back. At the scale of electrons and nuclei, matter has a wave aspect, and waves do not always stop abruptly where a classical object would be turned away. A quantum wave can extend into a region that classical motion forbids. If that region is thin enough, a faint part of the wave can appear on the other side. That quiet leakage is tunneling. The idea follows from the same wave description used for all small particles. When a particle meets a barrier, the mathematical description of its state does not usually drop to zero at the surface. Instead, it changes form inside a barrier where the particle would not have enough energy to move in the classical sense. The wave becomes a fading tail. It weakens steadily with distance if the barrier ends before the tail has faded away. The wave can begin again on the far side. A detector there may find the particle. With some probability, the particle has not made an opening through the wall. It has not climbed over the top. The wave simply had a small presence beyond the barrier. And that presence can become a real detection. This behavior is statistical. A single attempt may or may not succeed. For a high or wide barrier, the chance can be extremely small. For a low or narrow barrier, the chance can be noticeable. The probability depends smoothly on the barrier height, the barrier width, and the particle's energy. Small changes in thickness can make a large difference. That sensitivity is why tunneling is common in very thin structures and almost invisible in everyday objects. The concept emerged gradually as physicists applied wave equations to simple barriers. They found that the equations did not permit a sharp boundary between allowed and forbidden motion. The wave could penetrate a forbidden region, and if the region was finite, continue beyond it. No special mechanism had to be added. Tunneling was already present in the mathematics of waves. Over time, careful measurements of particles crossing energy barriers confirmed that the effect was real. The observed rates matched the probabilistic pattern expected from wave behavior. Tunneling does not require a particle to violate conservation of energy in a simple barrier. The particle detected on the far side has the same total energy it had before. The barrier region is called forbidden only in the classical picture, where a particle must have enough kinetic energy to be present there. In the wave picture, the particle state can have a small amplitude in that region. The word forbidden describes a classical path, not an absolute wall for a wave. This effect helps the sun shine steadily. Deep inside the sun, atomic nuclei move quickly because the interior is warm. Because protons carry positive charge, they repel one another, diffuse. They must come close enough for the strong nuclear interaction to bind them. Classical reasoning suggests that many protons in the solar core do not have enough energy to push through that repulsion, yet their wave nature gives them a small chance to tunnel through the repulsive barrier. The chance for any one pair is tiny. The sun contains an immense number of protons, and they are constantly moving. So a gentle trickle of fusion continues. That trickle is enough to produce sunlight over long timescales. Tunneling also appears in ordinary electronics. Flash memory stores information by controlling where electrons sit inside a tiny structure. A thin insulating layer separates a floating region from the rest of the device. When a suitable voltage is applied, electrons can tunnel through that thin layer and become trapped, or tunnel back out again. The trapped charge changes how the device responds to later electrical signals. Because the insulating layer is very thin, tunneling is practical. Because the trapped charge can remain in place, the memory can hold information without constant power, the process is quiet and repeatable. And it is built into many familiar devices at human scales. Tunneling fades from view. Large objects are made of enormous numbers of particles, and their wave aspects do not combine in a way that lets a chair pass through a floor. The probabilities for large objects are so small that they are effectively zero in daily life. Tunneling belongs to the small scale of nature, where waves spread, fade, and sometimes reappear beyond a barrier. An electron has a fixed internal property called spin, an intrinsic angular momentum. It belongs to the electron in the same quiet way that charge belongs to it. You cannot remove spin or set it aside. It is present whenever an electron is present. The word suggests a tiny top whirling in place. Yet the electron does not have a surface that could turn. There is no little sphere rotating faster or slower. Spin is angular momentum without a rotating body. The name remains because the property behaves in many equations like angular momentum. A spinning object in ordinary life can affect how it moves through a magnetic field. And an electron does something similar. Its spin gives it a small magnetic character. This magnetic quality is not added from outside. It comes with being an electron. Spin has a quiet simplicity. If one asks about it, along any chosen direction, the answer comes in one of two forms. Physicists often call them up and down. These are labels, not directions in a room. An electron measured in this way does not offer a continuous range of answers. It gives one of two allowed results. This two-valued nature is one of the reasons spin feels so unlike daily motion. The idea grew from careful study of atoms in magnetic fields. A beam of atoms could be passed through a field that was stronger in one place than another. The atoms carried tiny magnetic qualities, and the uneven field nudged them into separate paths. If the magnetic orientations could point in any direction, the beam might have spread into a soft smear. Instead, it separated into distinct traces. That quiet splitting pointed toward a property that comes in limited steps. Later, the same idea helped explain fine details in the light atoms give off. When atoms are excited, they emit light at particular colors. With better instruments, scientists saw that some lines were actually close pairs or subtle groups. Spin provided a way to account for these patterns. The electron's magnetic character interacts with its motion around the nucleus, shifting energies by tiny amounts. Those shifts show up as delicate changes in spectra. Inside atoms, spin helps bring order. Electrons arrange themselves around nuclei in shells and orbitals. An orbital is a spatial pattern, a way for an electron to be distributed around the nucleus. Spin gives each electron an extra label. Under the rules of quantum mechanics, two electrons can share the same spatial pattern if their spins are paired. This pairing lets atoms build up their electrons in steady layers. Because of that arrangement, elements have regular habits. The first shell fills with a small number of electrons. Then the next shell begins. As shells fill, atoms become more likely to share or exchange electrons in predictable ways. Chemistry depends on these outer arrangements. Spin is not the only rule involved, yet it provides a necessary part of the pattern without the two-valued property of electrons. Atoms would not stack into the familiar sequence of the periodic table. Spin also helps explain why some materials respond gently to magnets. In many atoms, electrons pair so that their spins point in opposite directions. Their magnetic effects soften and often cancel. When atoms have unpaired spins, the material may show a stronger magnetic response. A common magnet is a place where many tiny magnetic tendencies line up together. The effect is steady, arising from many electrons sharing the same orientation in an ordered way. Modern theory treats spin as deeper than a useful label when quantum mechanics was joined with the requirements of special relativity. Spin appeared naturally in the equations. It was not something added by hand. The electron has spin because of the kind of object it is in the structure of physical law. This gives the property a dependable character. Electrons everywhere behave this way because spin is stable. It can be used as a careful probe in laboratories. Scientists prepare atoms so that electron spins are arranged in a known way. A mild magnetic field then changes the energy of those spins by a small amount. Watching how the atoms respond gives information about their surroundings. The method is indirect, fitting for a property that is itself so restrained. An atom is not a tiny bowl with electrons packed in any way they please. It is a set of allowed patterns, and each electron must have its own pattern. The rule that keeps them distinct is quiet and absolute. Inside an atom, no two electrons can carry exactly the same full set of quantum labels. This sounds like a filing rule, and in a way it is. Each electron in an atom is described by a collection of numbers. One label tells the general size and energy of the orbital. Another tells the shape of the orbital. Another tells how the orbital is oriented in space. A final label refers to the electron spin, which can take one of two directions. When all these labels are written down, no two electrons in the same atom may have an identical list. The first consequence is simple. The lowest energy pattern can hold only two electrons because there are only two spin labels available for the same spatial pattern. After that, additional electrons must occupy higher patterns. They do not choose to. The labels simply do not allow them to pile into the same place. This quiet restriction spreads electrons outward from the nucleus in orderly layers. Those layers are the shells of the elements. The first shell is small. The next shell can hold more. Higher shells have more shapes and orientations available, so they accept more electrons. As each shell fills, the next electron moves into a new region of the atom. This gives each element its characteristic arrangement. Hydrogen has one electron in the simplest pattern. Helium fills the lowest pattern with two. Lithium must place its third electron in a higher shell. And from there, the pattern continues across the periodic table. This is why atoms have size. If every electron could share the same lowest state, all the electrons in a large atom would sit close to the nucleus. Atoms would be much smaller and much less varied. Instead, the rule keeps many electrons in outer regions. The outer electrons determine how far one atom reaches toward another. They set the scale of chemical bonds and the bulk of ordinary materials. The same rule helps explain why matter resists being squeezed. When atoms are pressed close together, their electron patterns begin to overlap. The electrons cannot all slide into the same low energy arrangements because the labels would collide. Some must remain in higher patterns, and that requires room. The result is a gentle but persistent resistance to compression. A table feels solid, and a cup keeps its shape because electrons are being kept distinct in this way. The idea grew from patient observation. Scientists studying the light given off by atoms noticed that spectral lines appeared in regular families. Some lines came in close pairs. The patterns suggested that electrons carried hidden labels and that certain arrangements were forbidden. The periodic table already showed repeating chemical behavior, as if atoms filled their outer regions in steps. A simple rule tied these observations together. Each electron needed its own complete set of labels, and once a set was taken, it could not be reused. Later quantum theory gave the rule a deeper home. Electrons belong to a family of particles whose shared state must change sign when two identical particles are exchanged. This mathematical property means that two such particles cannot occupy the same complete state. If they tried, the combined description would cancel itself out. The exclusion rule is therefore not a separate patch added to atomic theory. It follows from the kind of particles electrons are. The principle also organizes the chemistry of everyday substances. Elements in the same column of the periodic table have similar outer electron arrangements because shells fill in the same way. Atoms with nearly full outer shells tend to gain, share, or give up electrons in predictable ways. The quiet sorting of labels leads to regular patterns of bonding. Salt forms crystals, water bends at a familiar angle, metals conduct because some electrons are free to move through many atoms, while other electrons remain in filled inner shells. None of this requires force in the ordinary sense. The electrons are not pushing one another aside with tiny hands. They are following the structure of allowed states. The universe permits many patterns, but it does not permit duplicate full labels for electrons. That single constraint spreads matter out into space and gives atoms their individuality. Two particles can be prepared so that their properties belong to one shared description, even after the particles drift far apart. In such a state, neither particle carries a complete private list of what it will do. The pair is described together. If one particle is measured, the result can be random when considered alone. Yet, it fits into a pattern that connects it to the result obtained from the other particle. A simple example uses spin. Some pairs of particles are made so that their spins are related. If one is found to point upward along a chosen direction, the other will be found pointing downward along that same direction. Before either measurement, the quantum description does not say that one particle was secretly up and the other secretly down, it says the pair has a joint state that includes both possibilities in a balanced way. The individual outcomes remain unsettled until measured, while the relation between them is fixed by the shared state. This may sound like two cards placed in envelopes, one red and one blue. If you open one envelope and see red, you know the other is blue. The quantum case differs because the particles do not behave as if each envelope already held a definite card for every question that might be asked. Measurements can be chosen in different directions, and the pattern of matches and mismatches depends on how the choices relate to one another. A prearranged set of local instructions can reproduce some correlations, but it cannot reproduce the full pattern that quantum theory predicts and that experiments observe. The way this was worked out began with a clean mathematical distinction. Physicists asked what limits must apply if each particle carried only local information, meaning information available at its own position, and if no influence moved between the particles during measurement. From that assumption, they derived bounds on certain combinations of correlations. Quantum theory predicted values outside those bounds. Later experiments created pairs of light particles or other small systems, sent them to separate detectors, and compared the detector records. The observed correlations followed the quantum pattern rather than the local instruction pattern. The measurements were arranged so that ordinary signals moving at or below the speed of light would not have time to coordinate the outcomes. These results do not say that a message leaps from one particle to the other. A person measuring one particle sees only a sequence of single results, each one unpredictable when taken by itself. Nothing in that local sequence tells the person what setting was chosen far away or what result appeared there. The connection becomes visible only when two sets of records are brought together and compared. That comparison depends on ordinary communication, which cannot exceed the speed of light. The shared state gives strong correlations, but it does not provide a usable signal across space. The source of such shared states is ordinary interaction. When two particles are created together or emerge from the same transition, their properties can become linked through conservation laws and the quantum rules that govern the process. A photon pair produced in a single event may share polarization. Two atoms that interact and then separate may share a joint spin state. Once the particles are no longer interacting, the joint description can persist. If the state of the pair cannot be written as a separate state for each particle, the particles are entangled. The mathematics is quiet but precise. A combined state may be a sum of alternatives, such as one particle having one spin value and its partner having the opposite value, plus the reversed alternative. Neither term alone is the whole story. Measurement selects one term in the record of the observer, and the partner's corresponding property is then known from the correlation. The update is a change in the description used to predict future measurements. It does not require a physical pulse crossing the gap. Careful experiments have also shown that the correlations weaken or disappear when the shared state is disturbed by contact with its surroundings. This is one reason the effect is delicate in practice to preserve a joint state. Physicists isolate particles from stray fields and extra interactions, the same sensitivity that makes the states hard to keep also makes them useful. They allow new methods of measurement and communication in which the joint state is treated as a resource. In quantum information, shared pairs can help transmit an unknown quantum state when paired with ordinary classical messages. They can also support forms of coordination that are not available to independent particles. In each case, the rule remains the same. No information is sent by choosing one measurement rather than another at a distant location. The correlations are real, but they are correlations of outcomes, not controllable commands. A quiet cup on a table seems to have one definite position. Yet the rules that govern its atoms allow many possibilities. The cup could, in principle, be described by a quantum state that includes several arrangements at once. In practice, those alternatives do not appear. They are smoothed away by the constant presence of the surroundings. Air molecules brush against the cup. Light from the room glances off its surface. Warmth passes between it and the table. Each of these contacts carries away a small trace of information about where the cup is and what it is doing. When enough traces have gone out into the world, the different possibilities stop being able to interfere with one another. The result is an ordinary scene, steady and settled. This loss of interference is not a separate force added to quantum theory. It follows from the usual rules when a system is not alone. A single isolated particle can keep a clean relationship between its possible paths. If two paths are available, the particle state includes a phase relation between them, and that relation can produce interference. The pattern depends on the possibilities remaining linked in a precise way. Once the particle touches something else, the link spreads. The surrounding object becomes slightly different depending on which path the particle took. A photon scatters one way if the particle is here, and another way if it is there. A nearby atom shifts by a tiny amount. The information is not necessarily read by anyone. It only needs to exist in the surroundings. When it does, the neat phase relation becomes distributed across so many degrees of freedom that it can no longer be gathered back for the original system. The mathematics describes this with a table of probabilities and relationships. For an isolated system, the table has entries that connect different possibilities. Those connecting entries allow interference. When the environment becomes entangled with the system, the connecting entries fade from the point of view of someone who tracks the system alone. The possibilities begin to behave like separate options rather than overlapping branches. The cup is not observed into being by a conscious mind. It is simply in steady contact with a world that keeps records of it. This way of thinking grew out of efforts to understand systems that are open to their surroundings. Early quantum theory often treated atoms as if they were alone in a dark, empty room. Real objects are seldom so isolated, physicists developed methods for following a small system while averaging over everything around it. These methods showed that certain kinds of states remain stable under environmental contact. A dust grain floating in sunlight, for example, is struck by photons from many directions. Scattering events quickly distinguish one position of the grain from another. Positions that survive this sorting become the states that are easy to see. Superpositions of very different positions become hard to maintain. The environment leaves behind a set of durable alternatives. The time scale depends on size and temperature, and also on how strongly the object couples to what is near it. For a large object in a warm room, the surroundings are busy. The loss of interference can be extremely rapid. For a carefully prepared atom in a very cold trap, coherence can last much longer. This is why delicate quantum effects are easier to see in small, cool arrangements with careful shielding. The same rules apply everywhere, but the conditions determine how clearly they can be seen. A molecule in a beam may keep its phase relation long enough to show interference. A spoon in a kitchen does not preserve such a relation for long. It is continually meeting light and air, as well as the table. This same process also helps explain why measurements have stable outcomes. A measuring device is built to amplify a small quantum event into a large, readable signal. Before amplification, the event may be described as a set of alternatives. During measurement, the device becomes linked to those alternatives. Then the device interacts with its own structure and supports, along with the air and light around it. Very soon, each possible reading corresponds to a distinct, widely recorded state. The alternatives no longer combine to form interference. They appear as separate outcomes. This does not solve every philosophical question about quantum theory, and it does not select one outcome by itself. It does show why, after contact with a macroscopic apparatus, the world presents us with definite records rather than visible blends. The process is gentle in its everyday form. It is not a sudden break in nature. It is more like a conversation spreading outward. A single clear note can become part of a wide murmur, still present in the whole, but no longer easy to isolate. Quantum phases behave in the same way. They remain in the full description of system plus environment, but they are no longer available to the local object. For all practical purposes, the object follows one of the ordinary paths. This is why the breakfast table looks stable. The table and the plate, the spoon and the light, are all exchanging information constantly. Each item's position is being confirmed by countless soft contacts. The quantum possibilities that belong to each atom are still there in the underlying theory, but they are organized into patterns that act like classical alternatives. Large objects do not need a special boundary where quantum rules stop. They remain quantum, yet their coherence is spread so thinly across the surroundings that daily life sees only the settled result. The small world does not ask anything of you now. The ideas can rest where they are, like smooth stones on a quiet shore. Light moves in packets, and matter spreads in gentle waves, and neither needs to be watched tonight. Atoms keep their patient arrangements. While you lie still, electrons occupy their places in shells, and the ordinary solidity of things continues without effort. There is no problem left to solve here. The patterns that scientists traced over many years can settle into simple facts. A particle can be described by probabilities, and that description is enough. The sun keeps shining through tunneling, and memory can hold a charge. But these processes go on quietly, far from your waking attention. Your breathing can slow with the same ease. The universe at its smallest scales is steady and undemanding. Let the last images soften into darkness. Good night.